Dancing in the apocalypse!
I gotta get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and sparkle, Neely, sparkle!
I know what some of your big city no-bra-wearing hairy-legged women livers might say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Maximum Film. This is episode 197. I'm your host, Iffy Whiteyway, and in the booth with me are my friends. So let me introduce you to them. First up, we have the Christmas Zaddy himself holding it down. It's almost Christmas in July, and he's feeling kind of fly. Alonzo Duralde, what's good?
Oh, Iffy, I know I'm a little behind on this, but you know, there's just so much television. Like, we gotta be forgiving with this stuff. So I finally caught up with the final season of Pose, and it was amazing. Like, the first couple of episodes this season, a little like, what are we doing here? Did Ryan Murphy sneak back into the room? But then they just, like, episode after episode, they were nailing it. The Pray Tell Goes Home episode, the Electra Abundance backstory episode, the incredible two-part finale. But perhaps nothing better this season than the heart-tugging two-part wedding episode between Angel and Poppy, culminating in Poppy tossing aside his vows and singing All Four Ones, I Swear, a cappella to Angel. Not a dry eye in the house. Just a great moment of television. So if you've fallen behind on Pose, get over to Hulu. Get caught up on season three. Amazing stuff.
And if you're into wedding dresses, that is the episode
so
for you.
So many wedding dresses.
All the wedding dresses. Ooh, all fabulous. Yeah.
You know, speaking of Vogue's looking fabulous and great skincare, we have the Queen of the Midwest, Drea Clark. Drea, was good?
So mine, this is the first game that I'm bringing. It's also barely a game, but everyone is, of course, familiar with the board game Clue, Cluedo, to our listeners in the British Isles. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I got the app version of Clue, and it is now like my favorite thing to do. And I highly recommend it if you miss it. It's the same structure as the board game. You're choosing your suspect, your weapon, your room. But so I, of course, play this like late at night when they tell you, like, don't do screens anymore. You're getting ready for bed. And I'm like, joke's on you. I'm going to play Clue on my phone. And so I was playing
about murder.
Yes. So I was playing. It was very, very late. And, you know, your first thing comes up. So I get on this. My little moving piece gets on the stairs. It's the very first round. No one's shown anything. No one's picked anything. I pick a random suspect, a random weapon in a random room, because that's how you start, just to fill it up. I guessed all three correctly.
Woo.
I won it in the very first round with my three random guesses, which was stupidly exhilarating for me. And then adding to how dumb it was that I was so excited, it was too late for me to like text anybody. If I texted anyone, they would have been like, wow, what a so how crazy. Like, it would have just like dissipated it, but I was like, oh, I'm awake forever now. Anyway, so you guys,
I am the real Inspector Hound,
right? Yes. Oh, anyway, it was a rush. I'm not going to lie. It was very good. It was what was good with me.
Bravo.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, definitely. There's been a resurgence of Clue, like even in the gaming space. A lot of people have been playing the digital version of Clue, a game that I really learned right away that I didn't know how to play a board game version. And that's not a game you can kind of just jump in and figure out, because you're just handing cards and you're like, I don't know why I'm giving you this card. I don't know the rules of this. I'm not taking note of this.
This game is literally designed for like six and up. I'm just saying. I'll walk you through it.
Well, because if you're just handing the card, you're not realizing why you're handing the card. Unless you know the main thing, that if you have the card, that's
but
not the clue.
But you kind of are. We're gonna offline this. I'm gonna teach you Clue.
I know how to play Clue now. For the record, I know how to play Clue.
I still have my VCR Clue game from the 80s.
I remember that. Okay, good. Yeah.
Well, speaking of good and looking good, we have the host of the Fish Netflix, a podcast about fashion and film, Marie Lodi and Blair Bercy. What's good?
This has been a test of the AP broadcasting system.
Producer Casey rubbing his face as me taking 30 seconds off the clock just to say that.
It was worth it. Thank you. Worth it.
Thank you.
I was trying to see your breath control. Do you do the Mariah? Do you circle back through? I loved it. It was worth it.
See, I try the blue lady from Fifth Element. Like, you
there
know
that. You go.
I know exactly who you mean.
Sorry,
thank
Casey.
You.
This is going to be horrible. It's just a lot of us screeching and singing now.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, welcome.
Yes. Thanks for having us.
I am excited to hear what's good with you, because from where I'm sitting, one of you has a virtual background, one has a real, and they both look good. I'm sure the options are just like limitless for what you could give us.
But we're going to talk about that creepy head in the top right, which is from a thing, but I can't put my finger on it.
Do you want me to tell you? That is the Bayview baby from Happy Death Day. So that's what the murderer wears.
Yes, that's why it's okay.
I was raised on horror films, so there's a lot of stuff that I find endearing. I didn't think that was creepy. I've gotten texts. I've gotten messages from coworkers. I've gotten, this haunts me at night. Apparently people have a very strong reaction. This is my COVID collection. It just keeps me sane and grounded. I have mini brands up there. I have a Blumhouse puzzle somewhere over here. Yeah, so it keeps me sane and grounded, but apparently it's creepy to have the Happy Death Day baby in the background. I love him.
Oh yeah, no, that definitely feels like a late night walking back to the room, catch the reflection.
See,
in the room
and I find it endearing. Like somebody's watching. Look at my little baby watching up. It's weird.
What about you, Marie?
Oh, so I would have to say, so you know how like during the pandemic last year, mostly everyone was somehow able to like redecorate their houses and paint and all that stuff. I don't know if anyone did that here. I mean, I was too depressed and scared to do any of that stuff. So
I turned
now,
a closet into a pantry. Does that count?
Okay. That's impressive to me. So I'm on the late train, and finally my husband and I are like finally redecorating. And we DIY'd our bookshelves like from IKEA, painted them gold because we love gold in this house, and the background of the shelves are leopard print, and then we painted the wall green, and I was like, okay, this is reminding me of something. Ratchet, the series, the Netflix series Ratchet, which we've talked about
with Sarah Paulson. Yeah.
Yes.
So Sharon Stone's character, Lenora Osgood, had this amazing house that I remember Blair and I were like dying over. And
yes,
I was like, oh, that's how I'm like trying to do the living room, like subconsciously.
I love that.
It's leopard print, gold, green. And then I looked it up, and that place is, it's like a real estate in L.A., and it's called like the Dawn Ridge. I think it was owned by like an interior decorator, but you can like go there and rent it for like $500 an hour. So that's what I'm dreaming of. That's what I'm good. That's what's good with me. And
we're
going to
be doing that.
What about you, Blair? I realize I cut you off before I let
I'm
you say
I'm happy you did
good.
Because now I have something for Marie. So pandemic therapy, much like creating a pantry in a closet or painting things green. This is my quick, the small good. I started collecting these mini brands. I got addicted to it. I was a child. It was just like the feverish Cabbage Patch insanity of the 80s. The Pokemon insanity of the 90s and probably now. And Beanie Babies. So I started collecting them. They just released a limited edition gold. Well, it's not limited edition, but a limited run of gold balls. So when you open these mini brands, they have small food items that look exactly to scale like the actual items. And they have strange things like Zatarain's red beans and rice, Lari seasoning, Old Bay. Kids love it. I love it. But every, let's say, like 10 balls, you find like a gold version of that. And that's special. So I've had to open hundreds just to get a few gold. Marie's always said, I'm not doing that. Why don't they just get I want the gold. So Marie, they have gold balls now. They're called the Gold Rush balls. So that's good for you, for me.
Ooh, okay. Good.
I've been finding stupid joy in the smallest things. Like, I don't know if I've hit that point where media has moved me to tears for everything. I was so happy to do this movie this week. I was like crying. Everything has been so great. There's a father and daughter that have been doing cicadas in poses. Have you guys seen this?
No.
It's the silliest thing I've ever seen in my life. I've never thought a cicada was cute. And they have an Instagram where they put like cicadas in poses. So that's what moved me. Yes. What? Like, I want you to imagine like cicadas in a little cop car. Cicadas in
yes. Okay.
A little like hot dog stand.
Draw me like one of your French girls.
Good.
That's exactly what's happening, except with cicadas, and they're in poses. And I think that people are probably over cicada news, and that was just, it was adorable, and it's mini, so I love anything mini.
Are the cicadas dead?
No. So the daughter, which God bless the little freak, I love this, the daughter has like a really fun time like getting them to do what they need, and she's like, oh, I didn't realize, you know, it was going to be so hard to get them like to ride a skateboard. No. Yeah, and so, and because there's, you know, unlimited cicadas in I guess in the DMV area. So they have all of the different themes and they have everything planned out and they find different cicadas are doing holiday themes while we have them. So that brought me, that was like good, sweet news that a father and daughter found love over something that's not going to happen again for another 20 years. Yeah. And it was enjoyable to my
They found love
self.
In a hopeless place. Yes.
In a disgusting cicada place.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh, Iffy, could you top that? What's good with you?
I mean, no, my what's good are two central what's good. One, I will plus one the therapy. I started using better health, you know, cashed in on that. And you know, the therapist I was linked up with was like, oh, do you mind if we just do, you know, some messaging instead of calls? Like, oh, you're talking my language. That's my love language. Me not having to take any time out of my day. And I'm just kind of talking to you like I'm texting you and you're doing your therapy thing with that. Perfect.
Are you emojiing your therapist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. How are you feeling today? And I put the poop emoji if I'm feeling bad. But also I like I've been real into like my YouTube recommendations are all off. So as you know, I'm like in the writer's room right now and multiple technically. But like, you know, with the Zoom thing, it's very hard for me to focus because I have literally the whole internet at my hands. So what I've been doing now to keep me focused is I watch like restoration videos on 2x speed with the sound off. That way, like, I'm visually stimulated, but I'm still like present. And I fell into Farrier YouTube, which if you don't know what a farrier is, those are the people who reshoe horses. And so like, it's very satisfying to see because they clean all the dirt out the horse hoof and then they pull it off. It doesn't hurt the horse because like the hoof material is much like nails, like our nails. So like they're clipping it and burning it, and people in the comments are always like, does it hurt the horse? And someone was like, if it hurt the horse, this guy would be 2 feet back. Because horses yes, have powerful hooves and they will send you flying if they don't like what you do. And then that sent me down farmer YouTube, which is like a doctor who repairs hooves, and it's next level. It's worth checking out, but there's nothing quite like seeing a rock get pulled from a hoof and you're like, whew, that seemed like it feel good. So.
Your algorithm confuses the overlords.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you really keep them on their toes.
Oh, yeah. But let's keep our listeners on toes by talking about Cruella. And of course, we'll be taking a quiz about costume design. And as always, we'll have staff picks. But first, it's time for our new segment, Itadic, short for Is This Important? Do I Care? Each of us will read a new segment and answer the question, is this important? Do I care? There's no perfect person to start us off with this first one other than our great Alonzo, the Christmas Zaddy himself.
Okay, you guys, this has been just consuming my week, and I'm sure you have also been following this story really closely. So the old Hallmark Channel CEO is set to run a new right-wing, quote-unquote, family-friendly network. Bloomberg is reporting that right-wing investor group Hicks Equity Partners, which has ties to the Trumps and the Republican National Committee, is leading the way in creating a new, quote-unquote, family-friendly cable network. The network is going to be run by former CEO of Crown Media, Bill Abbott, a.k.a. the man formerly in charge of Hallmark Christmas movies. Abbott left Crown Media in 2020 over the controversy stirred up by the removal of a commercial on the network that featured a lesbian wedding. Is this important? Do you care?
Does everyone else get a full body cringe over the phrase family friendly?
Oh,
like family friendly to me, all I think of is, oh, this is a family. Families that consider themselves family friendly are families where the dad insists on getting a photo while holding a shotgun next to his daughter on a date. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Family just, values gives me the same chill as the phrase like ethnic cleansing. Because as long as it's been around, it's always been used in like the most horrifying way about it's always about queer people because of course none of us have or come from families. They use family friendly in the press release for this and safe. So let me unpack this for you guys. So yeah, so they ran an ad on Hallmark Channel in late 2019 for this wedding service. It's an online thing that helps you set up your wedding. And they had an ad that had two women getting married and they kiss in the ad. And the million moms, which is like probably four dudes in a fax machine, flipped out about it and made a big stink. And generally, most networks, when they get the big stink from the million moms, they tell them to fuck off. But Bill Abbott actually met with them, took them seriously, and said, well, I'm taking the ad off the network. This did not play well with Hallmark Corporate, the card company that actually runs Crown Media and everything else, because they have been super queer friendly for a long time, very inclusive in the stores and having cards for like, you know, for queer couples and like coming out day and the whole thing. So Abbott gets fired by them at the beginning of 2020 after the Christmas season is over. Then they bring in a new CEO who is a black woman, Wanya Lucas, who is definitely shaking stuff up. There have been a lot of other people who were execs being let go. You're starting to see, you know, still, we're talking baby steps, but baby steps are freaking out the family-friendly crowd towards any kind of inclusivity on Hallmark. We've gotten a few queer characters. We've gotten some more black leads, but, you know, some Latin leads. But like for the most part, it's still like not anywhere near where it should be in 2021. But nonetheless, for all the people on the Hallmark Channel Facebook group who are 11D and bigots and terrified that they're going to have to explain to their grandchildren why two dudes are kissing on their precious Hallmark Channel, now they can all go flock over to this new safe family friendly network. And that's all this is about.
I don't like it. Do we get to do a thumbs up? I'm a skip it on this one. No, I think there's something about this it's upsetting. It's also, of course, this is happening. But, you know, we've been standing on this precipice, watching this divide deepen. And the idea that so many small gains have been made in terms of inclusion or representation on screen, and the ways that those do make measurable impact in normalizing or in familiarizing and giving a comfort or a frame of reference to people who think they don't know anyone gay, think they don't know anyone from a background other than their own. The idea of the response to that being, no, I would like to remove myself from any of that. I would like to just continue the status quo. The nose.
And
like,
I'm going to be mad at you for making me look at it. That's the other part of it, you know.
Flames on the side of my face. Clue, call back to Clue.
Hey, look, they're trying to appeal to a demographic that is rapidly dying off. So, you know, like, good luck with that, kids.
One hopes. I mean,
I hope it fails.
Yeah,
Grinch.
Spectacularly, too.
Grinch vibes. That was horrible. I had to mute myself because I was like, because that sounds, all of that sounds like the Get Out family to me. Like, we're safe and we're clean and we're great and, like, nothing will be offensive. They'll kiss in the shed behind the house. Like, no.
Yeah.
None of that.
It's that whole thing of, like, oh, we just want to go back in time to that moment when things were so easy. And I'm like, for
2012.
For a very specific demographic, things were easy. And if you're not puzzling that through, I think you did skip over the best part, Alonzo, which is that GAC Media also acquired Ride TV, a 24-hour channel dedicated to equestrian sports.
Yeah.
Giddy up!
Yeah, you know,
if one of the Romneys doesn't have a show on there, I don't know what they're doing.
Right? What are the Romneys doing anyway? They've got time. Throw a Palin in there.
They're
all avail. Okay, so this one is near and dear to my heart. I will be first in line to see this, even if that means on my own screen at home, which is how I see everything. You guys, there is an unofficial Celine Dion biopic called Aileen, The Voice of Love, which is premiering at Cannes. It is straight bonkers. The whole thing of this is the most French Canadian thing ever. Everything from the glamour to the ridiculousness to the seriousness, it's perfect. It is a film inspired by Celine Dion's life, and it is unofficial. And so the singer in the film is named Aline Dieu. however, it does have the rights to Celine Dion's music. So Aline Dieu has all these performance scenes where she is singing Celine Dion's songs. It's bonkers. The film will also, and it looks like it's centered around the controversial relationship between Celine Dion and her husband, René Angéli. I didn't say that right, but it's too fun. René, of course, was more than 20 years older than Celine, and they met when she was 12 years old. I think he was her manager as well. Just, you know, a tale as old as time. So this is a movie, again, premiering at the Cannes Film Festival. I also want to add that the woman starring as Aileen is the co-writer and the director.
Oh.
And this is a swing for the fences for this gal. I want to hear from you guys, though. Is this important? Do you care?
Oh,
that's my,
oh,
that's
mais
my
oui.
Québécois. Is this important? Do you care?
We, oui. I'll tell you, American movies used to go for this kind of thing all the time. Like, you know, they're not going to make a movie about Lana Turner, you know, shooting, or Lana Turner's daughter shooting Johnny Sampinato, but they'll make Where Love Has Gone, which is sort of kind of about that. And they won't make a movie about, you know, Jacqueline Kennedy marrying Aristotle Onassis, but they'll make The Greek Tycoon, which is that, but with all the names changed. So I love a shameless bio, but not really biopic. And if you're going to make one about anybody who's alive right now, it might as well be Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, look, if you were able to get the rights to the music, but not the actual story, I think you got to start having some fun with it.
Yeah.
Add some robots, add some aliens. like, I mean, let's go all the way.
Robots and aliens have nothing on Celine Dion.
I was going to say, why gild the lily if he's you're already working with just
there's
wackiness.
And I did watch the trailer for this. And to me, I'm like, oh, I can tell you why they gave him the rights is because it's completely painted like a beautiful love story. Like the mother in the trailer, her mother confronts him and is like, she's so talented and you're letting, how could you get in? You're like, you're fat and you're old and she is wonderful and young. And literally the thing is like, the heart wants what the heart wants. Like, it's so like this troubling or potentially red flaggy relationship is just given like, oh, butterflies, and you're like, yeah, all right. The song rights are yours. It's yeah, so yeah, good job.
You cleaned it up for us. Go ahead and enjoy these songs.
So we got a music video compilation. Is what I'm hearing is we have an acted out music video. It's karaoke esque, except it's lip sync more.
With bridging material
and a good soft lighting.
What I want is to see the French Canadian actor they bring in to play Meatloaf, so that they can duet. Right? What's the? I'd do anything for love. Didn't she?
Yeah.
No.
Except he's not Meatloaf. He's Salisbury Steak because they can't afford that name. They can't afford that name.
Oh, the great singer Poutine is here.
Yeah. Meatball. They're just going to be like, and Meatball.
Oh, yes.
Meatball. Yeah, whatever it is.
I need Salisbury Steak. Yeah. If they do that, oh, I would love it.
I just wish it were like a Lifetime movie instead. That's the Celine Dion movie I want.
Lindsay Lohan is.
This one sounds a little too serious. Exactly.
Oh my gosh, Casey, cut that out. I'm going to take it to the network. Don't let Alonzo give away that idea.
All right, well, you know, on that note, I think it's time for us to take a quick break. But when we come back, we'll be talking about Cruella.
Hey, kid. Your dad tell you about the time he broke Steven Dorff's nose at the Kids' Choice Awards?
In Dead Pilot Society, scripts that were developed by studios and networks but were never produced are given the table reads they deserve.
When I was a kid, I had to spend my Christmas break filming a PSA about angel dust. So yeah, being a kid sucks sometimes.
Presented by Andrew Reich and Ben Blacker. Dead Pilot Society, twice a month on MaximumFun.org.
You know, the show you like. That hobo with the scarf who lives in a magic dumpster.
Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Welcome back to Maximum Film. I'm your host, Ify Whiteyway. In the studio with me are...
Drea Clark.
Blair Bercy.
Marie Lodi.
Alonzo Duraldi.
And today we're talking about Cruella. Drea, would you mind providing us with a brief synopsis?
I mind that you said brief, but yes, I'll do it. Challenge accepted. Okay, so Cruella is primarily set in the 1970s. We have a young girl who has been misbehaving her whole life, maybe because her hair is half black and half white, and her eternally patient mother has taken her. She's been kicked out of boarding school. They're on their way into London to lead a more fulfilling life. The girl's going to get on track, and the mother dies. From there, the girl falls into a life of comfortable petty crime with two charming thieves that become her best friends and roommates. And we jump ahead 10 years. They've been pulling off all sorts of ridiculous heists. She's been learning the art of fashion design. And she wants to go legit. She gets a job working at a department store and then ultimately for the biggest designer in town, the Baroness. And a bunch of hijinks ensue when she discovers some dastardly deeds of the Baroness's, and it unlocks her other side, which is Cruella. And Cruella is a brilliant designer, but also possibly evil. So, you know, like pretty much like all of us, who's, you know, she's not alone. She's not alone in that. So, yeah, Cruella.
Cruella. All right. I think there's no other way to start this convo off when we have the guest of Fish Netflix and that Bill Ting. Then what do we think of the outfits? This is a fashion movie about fashion. So how was the fashion?
Oh, man, it knocked it out of the park. Like Jenny Bevan, the costume designer, she did Mad Max.
Mm-hmm. Fury Road. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, Mad Max Fury. She incredible. Like I think when we first heard about this movie, a lot of people were like, oh, man, because, you know, first of all, like reboot, reimagine, like it's always everyone's always hesitant. And then I remember the trailer came out and it was like, OK, wait, this is looking good. And I wasn't expect. I don't know. I just have low expectations of everything these days. But when I watched it and I was just completely impressed. Every look. Well, I think there was one that maybe we had a little bit of criticism with, but like nothing. Like
the criticism was, it was just that it didn't raise as high as everything else in the movie, but it was still great.
I'm excited to hear which one you think, because I loved all of the, and there it's set up as like an action movie, mm-hmm. or like where in those you have these set pieces and there's like the John Wick world. There's a different like feel for each fight, right? Mm-hmm. This, your set pieces are these reveals where Cruella basically is like party crashing a Baroness event and she shows up in some ridiculously fabulous garment, but that also has a kind of theatrical, like a lot of them involve vehicles, mm-hmm. or like her showing up on a motorcycle, on a dump truck,
riding off in a garbage truck. Yeah.
Exactly.
They're architectural and, almost.
Yeah. So, and the one that I was like, oh, freeze frame. And I was actually glad that I was at home and could hit pause is she, the Baroness, they lock, like the Baroness is about to open her car door onto a red carpet. And her, like I said, Cruella has these mischievous roommate best friends and they've sealed her into the car. So the Baroness is staring out the window. Cruella just stomps up the car from the back and unleashes a skirt that envelopes the entirety of this vehicle, but with the slit letting you see the Baroness in the windowsill, and that has this like military top. And I was like, oh my God, is everyone seeing this?
I'm happy you brought up that one because, so I'm a movie theater person. I'm an AMC movie pass owner. I love that. That was like my thing. I would go every week. We had like three movies a week. The one good thing about seeing this at home, and once again, I also love Cruella. She's one of my favorites. And I'm happy that this movie was made now. But that had over 5,000 hand-sewn petals onto the skirt because they needed something that didn't look like a car cover, but also covered the car. So the issue was finding something that would like give you that beautiful fabric wave and not weigh Emma Stone down. And if you go back and watch it and pause, her jacket has horses and carriages on each shoulder. So there's like little like military. It's just, it's worth the pause and it's worth seeing it at home because this movie is so fashionable that I'm happy you mentioned that because it was inspired by a bunch of designers like John Galliano. But the fact that they had to figure out how to make set and costume like merge in that like moment, it was good because they could have faked it. They could have CGI'd. It's Disney, but they didn't.
Oh, absolutely. And that's true of the moment Alonzo referenced as well, too, when she leaves on the dump truck and has like a train of silk or something.
Like a mile.
I think I read in some article, I can't remember which one it was, but it was supposed to be like the Baroness's collection. So it's a total burn where she's like, your collection's garbage, like literally.
That was my thought when she dumped them out of the truck. So Alonzo and Iffy, I'm wondering, because it sounds like Blair and Marie both knew this. I try and avoid trailers wherever I can, which is much easier now that I'm never in a theater, although back soon. So I had skipped the trailer for this. I love going in totally blind. I did not know that this had bupkis to do with fashion. So the whole time it was like this wave of surprising, like, really? You're going to stay centered in this thing that I find so interesting. Were you two expecting that? Did you know that was a focus?
It was news to me. And then when they, I didn't even know when it was set. So when they tell you at the beginning, when she's a kid and it's like 1964, and then she's in London 10 years later, and like already in 64, she's wearing like high tops and accessorizing with safety pins. I'm like, oh, is this like a Vivian Westwood origin story?
So Westwood.
You know, and then you've got the fabulous gay with the clothing store. And I'm like, oh, and she's got a Malcolm McLaren too.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I love that the whole punk infusion, like that they sing I Want to Be Your Dog. And it's just like, I was constantly sort of excited about the, not just that it was a fashion movie, because I mean, obviously like Emma Thompson as the Baroness, as I said in my review, she's giving you half Miranda Priestly and half Reynolds Woodcock, you know? And so like, yeah, this movie is sort of steeped in fashion stuff and very specific period of fashion in London, which is like when it was the epicenter of that kind of thing. So this is, you know, this is why I call this movie Disney's Derek Jarman's Jubilee for Gay 8-year-olds.
I'm ecstatic you got that quote in there. And I really hope everyone in the world Googles Derek Jarman's Jubilee and note just to see how right Alonzo is. Iffy, what about you?
Oh, yeah, no. Like, I had a feeling this had to, like, this would touch on fashion mostly just because of just who Cruella is, like in the Dalmatians verse. So, but I didn't expect to be like enthralled. And like I was thinking about it, I was like, man, there really hasn't been that many like fashion movies. Like the last fashion movie I can think of is like The Devil Wears Prada. Like that was the last like major fashion movie. And like, I forgot, as a fashion fuckboy myself, even though I lean more on the streetwear side, I did buy 3 Louis Vuitton pieces recently.
Investments.
And yeah, investments. That's what I'll tell my accountant. But it is like such an interesting world that we don't get to like see too much. And I like the drama of designer versus designer. And like, you know, it's funny, like I was talking about, we talked about this in the group chat, but it seemed like people like the anti-fun police wanted to like hate on this movie. But I think it's like the same people who like don't like they didn't like the fact that it was this origin story of Cruella, because like I saw somebody that was like, saying that people online were like, why not just make this this is what Riley was saying last week, of like people online being like, why this would be a good story if it was just a fashion story, why attach it to Cruella? And it was like, because that was this assignment, sis. But also if you're already saying this is a good movie, but the thing you don't like it that is it's attached to this property, maybe it's a good movie.
There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Like,
exactly.
Like, but I think, you know, there's so many conditionals with liking stuff online, but this was like such a fun, like I think it is the funny thing of like getting towards the end of this movie and be like, oh, this is going to be a bad person because bad. I'm on their side. And I think that's like the only thing is like, but also there's the part of me who enjoys fun. And I was like, we don't have to see the dislike. We can just assume that something along her career mm-hmm. is going to make her turn evil. And it's almost implied that she's inheriting that evil from,
right.
You know,
yeah. Well, somewhere
we so yeah. rarely get a female anti-hero with this mm-hmm. kind of complexity. And mm-hmm. the idea with, you know, she's like, her name is Estella and Cruella is truly, oh my God, she's her Sasha Fierce, right?
Yeah, like
her alter her,
yeah.
ego. It's her id. Right? It's part of her, and it's tied to her creativity. And I think that that's something that's like
it's her
good
Chris
or bad.
Gaines.
Chris Gaines. Ooh, yes, my apologies. Yeah. Better reference. But the I like too that with Cruella, they're skirting the line a lot in her character of she is someone who starts to take advantage of her friends. And so it's, you don't mind, you're not judging her for the bad thing she's doing when they're like disrupting the Baroness's stuff. Cause like, we know the Baroness is bad, right? So when she's like crashing parties and like stirring the pot, those are all bad things that are fine. It's when she's, oh no, you just absolutely take advantage of these people that you purport to love. Those are the complexities that I actually really liked, and they address them head on. It's built into the story. It's mm-hmm. not an after the fact of, oh, I guess she's going to be sort of shitty to her friends. Like, it is something that she's resolving, and I really appreciate that about it. I also, my biggest thing when I look back and saw like the criticism of it, everybody who got twitchy about the fact that her mother's death is slightly related to Dalmatians.
Yeah,
I was like, settle down.
Such
an
oversimplification of what happened.
It truly is. Like, they build the Dalmatians in such an interesting way, and even toy with the idea of how bad she's going to be to them. Do you know what I mean? And like, that's all resolved. And they also, I thought it was so, so smart to center and to bring, there's two adorable dogs in this that are like part of her squad. It's her, two dudes, and two dogs. And that like fits so well in this universe, right? Like the idea of having dogs still part of the storytelling.
And look, if we can have, if the movies can give us 18 different Batmans at this point, and they've all got their own, you know, variations on a theme, like, fine, give me a Cruella who is like, you know, actually likes dogs and fucks with the idea of people thinking that she doesn't like dogs, but we know for a fact that she does, and who doesn't smoke, but who is also still like fabulous and larger than life and not to be fucked with, you know. I would like to know how many people on Twitter who are bitching about this film violating canon think that Glenn Close is the only Cruella de Vil that ever existed not Betty Lou Gerson in the cartoon, not the truly demented Cruella that exists in the original novel. So it's like, everybody calm the fuck down.
Can I ask another fashion question since we have the two of you here? So obviously, you know, you're looking at, and we mentioned like the Vivian Westwood of it or the Galliano for the Cruella side, but I also found the Baroness a really interesting thing. Like, it is kind of funny thinking that like the height of 1970s UK fashion would be this very staid, traditional stuff that Emma Thompson's character is designing. And that's the part that I actually got more of. Like, I got a lot of Phantom Thread from that, of the like old school Dior or whatever. But what did you guys think of the structure? So it's set up where we see the Baroness, that Estella is one of the many younger designers who are working uncredited. And she's like, I have to put together a brilliant collection. And then really what you're seeing is she's just having this handful of other people putting their own creative juices and not getting any credit for it if it goes well, and getting smacked for it if she doesn't like it. What did you think of the structure of how they were presenting that?
I mean, that is very accurate.
It was the fashion industry. And it was, it's funny because there was also the class and wealth issue, because we knew that the Baroness came from money. We saw her heritage and we saw like her lineage. And that was that, you know, go to where the culture is, take what you want, and then make it mainstream and slap your name on it. And that's what we see time and time again with every group that does something cool. And we see the exploitive nature of, you know, her friend had, Cruella's friend or Estella's friend had, a vintage shop. And in that vintage shop, there were some of the best looks there. And did he get his shine? No, but did the rich people come through here and take what they wanted and figure out like how to make that their thing? Then yeah, probably. So we talked about this on the show. There's a moment where there's the red dress, which everyone, if you've seen the trailer, you've seen that moment where, you know, she unveils this like amazingly sharp red dress, which is a showstopper, another one. But that the go between the back and forth between her and the Baroness are, that's my dress. And then Cruella's like, no, but I made it better. That dress is in the Met, and it's a tree dress, and it's supposed to like show femininity. It's like supposed to be like the one dress that has all of the silhouettes from like the heart-shaped bodice to like the cinched waist, and then it comes out and it shows like the décolletage in a very like classy way. And I thought it was very funny because even though that's the inspiration, the Disney version did do like a really good job. And I think knowing that they pulled from a classic and had that spin, there was another moment where, I mean, we don't, it's unconfirmed, but I feel like they took a dig at like Kim Kardashian's Met dress, where like Cruella's redoing the window, and she comes through, she gets drunk and she like decides to redo the window, and she is looking at this like really sad window display, and she's drunk and she's like, let me just fix this. And she's like, this makes me sad. It looks like crap, because it's a stereotypical window display for a safe version of things, and does it edgy rock star. And of course, you know, somebody comes through and gives it the respect. The Baroness is like, this is awesome. But at the time, it's like, nobody's listening to these designers, these like edgy, smart people in fashion. They're doing what's safe until it can be lucrative to them.
That, of course, is the moment that lifts from the motion picture Mannequin, which makes me happy. This movie also has a nod to the Thomas Crown Affair, with a misdirect by how they're dressing a crowd. A lot of great references here.
I was thinking about the fashion show in Absolute Beginners, where Patsy Kensit spontaneously invents the miniskirt and the frug.
Just a casual Tuesday, coming up with those two things.
There you go.
All right. Well, that was a great discussion, but we do have to give our final review of Cruella. So for the final review, would you snap it up on physical media, stream it, or skip it?
Oh, I'll go. You guys, I'm not afraid. I'll jump off the back of this dump truck.
I'm not afraid.
Thank you, Iffy. Thanks for the song. I must snap it up. I enjoyed this so thoroughly. I did not expect anything from it. And I, like I said, I would really like to rewatch it. I think it hits a lot of things in really fun ways. I mean, like, I was so taken in by everything they were wearing and some nuances of characterization. I feel like there's story things in here that I could appreciate even more on repeat viewing. So yes, high praise from this corner of the non-Midwest. That's what I say, you guys.
I would snap it up on physical media and buy the coffee table book with all of the fashions in it for sure. Our good friend Riley Silverman was here last week and talked about how Disney villains are Disney princesses for gay kids. And I'm all for that. And as much as like, you know, when I was a child, I loved a Disney movie called The North Avenue Irregulars because it codified my love of like elderly female comedians. I think that any gay kid or like cool girl who is into the awesome fashions of the past and general anarchy will be just lapping this baby up.
Or straight boy. Young straight boy is also interested in the awesome fashions of the past.
You know what?
Everything, wants everybody.
Everything else is for them. This is for him.
Get yours. You
wells for boys me. Absolutely. And I deserved that. That's fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, look, it's Pride Month. We got to give it to Alonzo.
Yeah, that's fair. Ladies, how about you? Yeah,
what are you?
I'm snapping it up, and I'm snapping up that soundtrack. Ooh. And I'm repeat watching it. It was so good. There's so many other looks we didn't get into. There's like a whole Silence of the Lambs situation. That'll be a surprise for people as they watch it. It's just amazing. But I think Yeah, getting this, and also the soundtrack. I know we talked about this briefly with Celine or Ingenue, whatever the other one's being called.
Aileen.
I don't do names. It's gonna haunt me for the rest of my life. But this soundtrack is, for Disney standards, one of the best. And you're not gonna get like a Beauty and the Beast, you know, duet, but you're gonna get like Florence and the Machine giving you a very British Cruella for, like, you know, you could listen to this while you're cleaning or like hanging out. So I was also equally impressed with like the detail that went into that. So yeah.
Yeah. That's not too obvious for me. I will also snap it up. I want the, do they still do director's commentary? Cause that's what we're missing with like not having DVDs. Like, you know, that's what I'm missing. So I want that. Cause I also have to shout out the makeup artist, Nadia Stacey. Like, she did an incredible job. And I know she worked on The Favorite also. So like, I want to just pause every scene, really look in, because those, especially that scene that we were talking about, the montage of, you know, all the pranks, like the one that you talked about with the shoulder pads and the, like, that's something that you really need to pause because it goes so quickly and it's like you have to get your magnifying glass out and look. But yeah, incredible. Yeah. I'm very happy with this. Good job. Good job, everybody. I love it.
It reminded me of that section in Funny Face where she has like five different Givenchy looks like in rapid succession. And you're like, normal movies don't get one of these. How are you giving? There's too many. I can't take it all in. Yeah. All right, Iffy. Round us out, guy.
It's very easy to tell. This is a snap it up for me. I loved it. I had a good time. Full disclosure, Kirby Howell Baptiste, good friend, good, you know, UCB, you know, homie. But also, it was great. I like it. You know, I will say I like it. I'm not pulling any punches when I say. Also, I've been a Emma Stone stan for a long time. Even before she was at a comedy show I was on and said I was one of her favorite comedians of the night.
So she's basically your best friend.
I mean, look.
It's crazy you kept that silent. I mean,
this whole episode was a Shaggy Dog story to get us to that anecdote.
Yeah, well, you know, it's you know, I'm sorry that she finds me funny. You know, the only thing that can top that is when she finds me handsome, you know, and when we are married and when we have a family. If he, Emma Stone Mwadiwe has a great
ring tone. It rolls right off the tongue. I love it.
Right off the tongue. Does. Yeah, yeah.
Merry Christmas from the Stone Mwadiwes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, after saying all that had to be said, I think it's time we take another break, and we'll be right back after we hear from another show from Maximum Fun.
Mr. Robot Man, what are you doing?
I'm just taking one last look at my coworkers.
Every journey comes to an end.
Remember, Plek, the space will be with you always.
Sorry, who are you again?
Master Kieran.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Just calling in.
Friendships will be tested.
Dar, you have to do it. You have to shoot Plek.
Okay.
You shot him so fast.
Destinies will be fulfilled.
I've become a complete bird. I'm flying.
Guys, we don't have a choice. We have to put on a show.
We can do it in the old barn. We've got the costumes, we've got a stage. We can do it, you guys.
Mission to Zix, the final season on Maximum Fun.
Welcome back to Maximum Film. I'm Yosef Uwadiwe, and in the studio with me are
Alonzo Duraldi,
Marie Lodi,
Blair Bercy,
Drea Clark.
And look, we got something special this week because Blair has cooked up something, or not really cooked up something specific for this, but brought it over from Yawncast to ours, and I'm real happy to dip my toe in it. So why don't you explain it to us?
Oh, well, okay, a consensual toe dipping. Yeah, so what we have is Marie came up with this genius idea because I don't online shop ever. I didn't pre-pandemic. I'm a store goer. I go to the stores. I go to the small places. Marie is one of those people who get 17 packages. She likes it. She buys it.
Oh, my God.
It was wonderful. So it was a segment called Add to Cart. She came up with this idea of like, the movie inspired us to buy, whether it's digitally or physical? Like, what is the look that we're buying? What is something that we're incorporating into our wardrobe just because we found something interesting in a movie? And what makes us happy? Like, do we buy props? What do we buy? So Marie had this lovely idea to add to cart, and it's been a weekly thing that we do. So we wanted to bring it here. You guys watch Cruella. It can be a Cruella add to cart. It can also be something that a movie, you knew the moment you saw it in the movie, you're like, I need this, I want this, or I was inspired to purchase this. So we're going to throw to you guys for your add to carts.
I told you that immediately you said this, and I was like, I know what I want. Is there a cart? Can I put it in the cart?
It's
while I was watching Cruella, you know, I definitely spent the last year in very comfortable loungewear. Nothing fitted in any way, a lot of stretchy fabrics. And there are so many beautifully structured jackets and coats in this. And they also, most of them have these very elaborate, high structured shoulders as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe that's my thing. Maybe when I come back into the world, I am a structured coat with an intimidating shoulder kind of gal. And that is what I want for myself. I'm going to dig through Torrid. I'm going to dig through E. Shakti. But like,
my kind of girl. Right?
Like, I feel like, oh, those jackets, they were just so cool.
There was something really fun that we talked about. The best one that I loved was the motorcycle jacket that she had with the like sparkly plant pants where she jumped off. The tread, the jacket design is inspired by like tire tread. So you can even get like a tough badass jacket. Love it.
Okay, love good. So, all right, put it in my cart. Add to cart.
So in addition to the aforementioned Jubilee, which is, it turns out, streaming on HBO Max right now and the Criterion Channel. So if you've never seen Derek Jarman's Jubilee, I recommend it. But my add to cart is going to be a documentary called The Filth and the Fury, which is about the Sex Pistols and about Malcolm McLaren and this whole period of London music, London fashion, which Cruella whetted my appetite for. And I want to learn more and see more and maybe even make more connections that the movie is offering me that I'm just not picking up on because I'm not versed enough in this period of fashion history.
Genius. Add to cart. That's really good. And I might do that too. I might share your cart. Right. That was good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Duplicate carts.
Dip your toes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. My add to cart is basically anything Joel Fry had on, you know, you know, which was tight. I was like, we got two, you know, black people in this film, which is a huge move for Disney. I'm gonna just say that. I'm not even gonna have any sass. I held back the sass.
I was waiting. Anita, yeah, darling, give it to me. Come on with it.
But you know, all his fits were off the charts, and I was fucking with it. So yeah, anything he was rocking, I'm with it.
That was a dapper upgrade too.
Yeah,
he plays Jasper from what we know as Jasper and Horace, which were kind of like bumbling idiots. We see how the abuse started because in all versions, she's horrible to them. But I liked that they didn't rely on a stunt cast or anything, because Anita Darling is also black in this version of Cruella, so I loved that, and it didn't feel forced. It felt very natural. And Joel Fry,
and I liked that they threw in Paul Walter Hauser, since this is from the director of I, Tonya.
And he was fantastic in this.
Better Cockney accent than you would ever think.
Much better.
So surprised.
And the guy who plays Roger, who starts as a lawyer, and then we see it ending with him, Roger Darling, is from What We Do in the Shadows, the Persian-British actor, who's so good. Best head of hair in the game.
Truly, yeah.
Iffy, I like Jasper's fits for you. I really do. I like that color dapper story, too.
It's a good silhouette.
Yeah. Okay, you know. What about you two?
Like,
experts of the cart.
So I did the cheesiest thing ever. I learned from Marie's friend and from TikTok. Like, Sean came on the show, we talked about this, and I'm also on TikTok obsessively because I know I'm not going to the Avengers campus anytime soon. There's a 6-hour waiting thing in California. It's horrible. Yeah, 6 hours. And 6 hours, and they're working on maybe getting it to 4. So I've been obsessively checking things out, and now I've become a Disney person. And I saw all of the people that were modeling, like, the snacks for Cruella had on these motorcycle jackets and things. And I was like, Disney is dressing like influencers? Like, what the shit is this? So what I figured out is Disney has a very torrid, Hot Topic-inspired Shop Disney. Mm. Their, like, their Shop Disney for Cruella is a lot better than anything else. So they have Betsy Johnson earrings that are kind of like a pop punk glam and glossy rhinestone. Like, one side will be like a safety pin and the other side will be like hearts and stars and maybe a Dalmatian puppy. So there's a lot of really cool stuff there. So what I did was I went on there and found a bunch of stuff that I needed, including a very low-key branded Baroness. It's the Baroness logo on the front and it just looks like an old school like Gucci sweatshirt, except it's from the Baroness's line. So that was my add to cart.
Very cool.
For me, I think I am going, we talked about investment pieces, right, earlier. I've had actually Vivian Westwood's website, like the tab open for weeks, looking for a bag. I'm like, is it time for me to get a Vivian Westwood? Well, another one. I have like a little one. So there's like one that she has that's very, it actually looks very, it would fit in with this movie because it's, you know, obviously very punk and stuff. So I think that's what I'm going to do, kind of a loosely inspired Vivian Westwood tribute bag as my add to cart.
That add to cart embodies both of us. I picked the Shop Disney bootleg. Marie picked the gorgeous.
Well, I have to stop shopping at Shein. Like I told you, I have to stop.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to go for investment pieces. Not ones that
I love it.
Turn into air.
I like that. I like that game. I can't wait to hear it on your podcast.
Yeah, I know. But let's keep the fashion combo rolling and jump into this costume design quiz done by producer Casey. Look, we have two experts in costume design with us today. We're going to utilize their knowledge and do this quiz. Casey, why don't you go ahead and explain the rules?
That's right. We have two fashion experts, we have two movie experts, and then we have Iffy. And
Emma Stone thinks is very funny.
Yes.
Emma Stone thinks is funny. Stone. Exactly.
So we're going to split up the teams like this. We'll have Drea, Marie, and Iffy on one team, and then Blair and Alonzo on the other team. So this is what the quiz is going to be. I will give you all the nominees for best costume design in 1 year, and you have to tell me what movie won. You get 1 point for guessing the movie. You can get another point for saying the year the movie came out, and then an additional point if you can guess the costume designer.
Ooh. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so there's a lot of points on the table. We'll see how this goes. Drea, Marie, Iffy, do you guys have a team name?
What do you think?
Madonna, because Maria's in the Madonna
The Madonnas?
The Madonnas.
Okay, does and Blair work? And Alonzo?
I'll work with the Madonnas.
The Edith Head.
There you go. Ooh. I'm into that.
Okay, Edith Head. The Madonnas versus Edith Head. Okay, the Madonnas are going to go first. Here are the movies that were nominated in this cluster, all together in this particular year. The Addams Family. Barton Fink, Bugsy, Hook, and Madame Bovary. Which movie won for best costume design, the Madonnas?
I want to say Hook or Madame Bovary. Do you guys have any nods here? Also, I'm terrible with years. I don't know what year it currently is.
That's okay.
I feel like I might have the year. Is it
okay? What do we think on the movies? Iffy, any of them stand out to you?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards Bugsy.
Okay, I'll switch with Marie. I'll throw in with that.
You are correct. It's Bugsy.
Marie,
good job.
And you have a year.
Can I guess the year? I was gonna guess the year just because I'm like obsessed with this. Marie, guess the year, and then I'll see if I can get it.
Okay. This is like early 2000s.
Blair, you will not get any points if you get it correctly.
That's fine. Okay. It's just the fact that my mom knows that I still have brain cells left.
Okay, but Marie, do you have a guess? Okay.
I think this is early 2000s.
Adam's Family? That's got to be, is it 90?
You're right. Adam's Family was earlier. And Barton Fink?
What's your answer?
90.
It's 91. You were off by 1 year.
Oh my God, you're so much better than I am.
I'm sorry, Blair, you were going to guess. I'm sorry about that.
It's fine. It's totally fine. Do you want to know how I figured out what it was? We had the riots in LA in 92, and I knew what was there before the theater burned down.
Oh, no, that's amazing.
That's so funny.
I mean, that's horrifying, but amazing.
Do you guys have any guesses on the designer?
Oh, shit.
In 91 Bugsy. For a period?
From no. Bugsy.
No.
I'm just going to guess. Oh, but I'll
what is it, Alonzo?
Like,
no, are they going
to be Colleen Atwood?
Alonzo, that is incorrect.
Is it Patricia von Brandenstein?
No, it's someone named Albert Wolski.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay.
Burr. We call
Burr. Burr in the biz. Okay. Very good. Okay. That was 1 point for the Madonnas. Edith Head, you are next. Here are the movies.
Nice job, Marie.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. 102 Dalmatians. Gladiator. Quills.
I know the Grinch won makeup that year.
Okay.
Probably Crouching Tiger, you think?
Fucking Gladiator has so many people. Fuck. Well, Crouching Tiger should have won. So I'm willing to go with you on that because it should have won. And so fuck Gladiator. The year is the question that
One at a time. So
okay, let's get one.
So your final answer is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes.
Incorrect.
Fuck! Is it Gladiator?
It's Gladiator.
Fuck all those stupid ass people. They go by that dumb shit at the Academy.
Okay, what?
I'm never gonna win an award.
Bunch of togas. Who cares?
What was the year?
Is that 99 or 2000?
2000. That's what I was gonna ask you. Is it 99 or 2000? God dang it!
I want to say it's 2000. Because 99 was... No, 99 was Matrix. American Beauty. 2000 was Gladiator.
Okay, so let's go with 2000 because Matrix was, I feel like, 99.
Yes.
Okay.
2000. Correct, 2000. And do you have the costume designer for Gladiator?
It's Ridley Scott.
Just say Albert again.
Colleen Atwood. Or
Theoni Aldridge.
Both are wrong. It's Jaunty Yates.
Oh, Yatesy. We call him Yatesy.
Yatesy, of course.
Good. And we're still happy for
okay,
them.
So you guys got 1 point for the year on that one. Okay. The Madonnas. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay.
I just want to say this is kind of a hint. The 1991 one, that's the oldest we go. So okay. If that's helpful in any way. Okay.
Because cinema didn't exist before then.
That's right. okay, here we go. Curse of the Golden Flower, The Devil Wears Prada, Dreamgirls, The Queen, Marie Antoinette. This is for the Madonnas.
It has to be Marie Antoinette. Right? Marie? Iffy? I'm trying to make eye contact with you.
That would make sense to me. Wait, Marie Antoinette, Devil Wears Prada.
Like, Devil Wears Prada is beautifully curated, but for design, Marie Antoinette, like, they built and constructed so many of those enormous, like, it's not Versailles, but, you know, French, old
Marie
French.
Antoinette.
Yeah, I feel like Marie Antoinette is, like, what I want to win, but I don't know if that actually... That would make sense, though. Oof.
I'm going to rock with you on Marie Antoinette.
Okay.
My heart says Devil Wears Prada, but also my heart, I also haven't seen Marie Antoinette. Also, I never win this category in Oscar ballots, so I'm a lean on y'all.
Okay.
So your answer is Marie Antoinette?
Yes.
That is correct.
Oh, thank God.
And you have a year.
You guys, Marie was going to be so mad at me if I got that wrong.
Do we have a year?
Okay, a year. Marie Antoinette.
It's definitely the early aughts, right?
I feel like it's 2004.
Four? I'll go with whatever.
All right. 2005 was my guess because I think I was still in high school when this came out, but I'll say 2004 because I'd still be in high school. So 2004.
2004, final answer? Yes. Wrong. 2006.
Three. Oh, 2006.
Do you guys know who the costume designer for Marie Antoinette was?
I should. I'm really embarrassed. We haven't done that movie yet, so.
Oh, that'll be a good one on your show. Milena Cananero.
Cananero, yes.
Oh.
Very good.
Let's speed.
Now would be the Rodarte girls.
Let's speed through the rest of these. Here we go. Edith Head, here we go.
Okay.
So you guys got 1 point for that, Madonnas. So you have 2 points. Edith Head has one. Okay. Here we go. The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Little Women, Joker, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Actually, you know this one. It's it's
Little
Women.
That is correct. Little Women is correct. What year was that?
That would be 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the name of the costumer, unfortunately.
Mother shit and Busy Phillips was just taught. God, and I feel like this is the one I probably would know a name to. I give up.
I don't got it.
Jacqueline Duran.
Would not have pulled that anywhere out of my brain.
Of the Jackie. Little of the Little Women, Durans.
Yes, that's right.
Oh,
Duran Duran.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, the Madonnas. Here we go.
We're gonna be so fast this time, Casey.
Moulin Rouge, The Affair of the Necklace, Gosford Park, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
You guys, it's gotta be
Moulin
Rouge.
I know the year. 2001.
Baz Luhrmann, baby.
Moulin That's correct. Rouge. That's correct on the year. You got a point for the year. Okay. Do you have a final answer on the movie?
I think it's Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge.
Correct.
Yeah.
Boom.
And good then.
Costume designer?
Oh my God. Listen, we just did this one.
We
just did this one. I'm named.
This is so embarrassing. Sorry. I'm just so bad with names.
Is it Jenny Bevan? Like, because she's Australian.
Okay. Well, it is Catherine Martin and Angus Strathy.
I was going to effing say Catherine.
I'm so embarrassed.
I thought she was his production designer.
I interviewed
designer.
Catherine Martin for The Advocate when this movie came out. That's the only reason I knew that one.
I did know the other guy, though.
Yeah. I forgot about Angus, but yes, him too. And Catherine Martin is Baz Luhrmann's wife.
Yeah.
We know this, Blair.
That's what I was starting to say.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's my fault.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought that she was his production designer. That's why.
I think she did both.
I think she's
both, something.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I know something.
Okay. Who's up now?
Edith Head.
All right.
The ghost of Edith Head.
Braveheart. Richard III. Sense and Sensibility. 12 Monkeys. And Restoration.
Braveheart won Best Picture that year. Probably Braveheart.
I would go with Braveheart because of the amount of people.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't great costume design. Richard III probably had better costume design.
Oh, loved it, but yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll say Braveheart.
Restoration.
Oh, man.
Wait, can we try the year? The year would be
1996.
I would say 6 or 7. Let's go with 6. I say 6.
1995.
Go!
Oh, no. Do you want to guess the costume designer?
No, it's my mom. I don't want
to
guess.
No, wait.
Sorry. This is me. I'm a sore loser. Sorry.
I know who directed Restoration, but fuck, the costume designer. Jenny Bevan.
James Acheson.
I can't believe you didn't do any Colleen.
Acheson, excuse me.
Any Colleen Atwood.
Colleen Atwood.
The single designer I remember.
Okay. The Madonnas, here we go. Carol, Cinderella, The Danish Girl, Mad Max Fury Road, The Revenant.
Mad Max Fury Road.
That's correct.
Yes.
We know that.
We knew that one.
Jenny Bevan did Mad Max
Fury Road.
Yes. And that was in 2000.
Is that?
And.
Seven? No.
I saw the Chrome version of this the night of the 2016 election because I was too freaked out to be watching the returns, and that came out a year after, so like 2014 maybe.
I'm the guy who's gonna sit on the bench for the whole season and collect the ring at the championship.
Good for you.
Don't ask me for nothing.
Good for you.
Iffy, those people are so important to like the motivation and the spirit
really
of the team.
You still get a ring.
Yeah,
if you sit on the bench and the team wins, you still get the ring.
Exactly.
So this is good.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Okay, what was the year? What was the final year you guys said?
2014.
2015.
Damn it. I knew it was one of those because, again, I couldn't remember how long it took for them to release a Chrome version.
Okay, Edith Head. Here we go.
Don't give us any hard shit. You basically handed them
that. Yeah, no shit.
One.
That was such a gimme.
Oh, I gave you one from 2019.
I'm sorry. You took it 2 years ago.
You did the one. You guys got the one we just talked about, Cruella. Literally, we just spoke about
that. That has not helped you in other categories.
Contestants, calm down. Okay, here we go. Enchanted April. Howard's End. Malcolm X. Bram Stoker's Dracula, Toys.
Oh my God! This is my favorite movie. I always talk about my love for Dracula. Oh my God!
I think it was Dracula, actually.
It does sound right to me. because it does sound right to me, because I pulled up the Oscar sketches, because they're in we always talk about there's no way to find Oscar sketches, and we got, also, there's no way in hell you're getting me to say her name. The designer is Japanese, and I'm not saying names for the fashion design person, but I mean the costume designer.
So what's
but
your what's your
right.
answer for the movie?
Dracula. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Right,
correct.
The designer is a wonderful Japanese woman who, if you go to the Oscars.com and you go look at her retrospective, they've worked together forever. There's a beautiful coffee table book on it. It's one of my favorite films.
All right, Blair, let's talk about the year real quick. 93?
Okay.
Or 92?
I'll give you 93 or 4. It has to be 93 or 4. If I had it in VHS on 94, then it had to be 93.
Yeah, I think 93.
92.
What? Damn
Sorry,
it.
I talked you out of that one.
Okay, it's Eiko Ishioka. Fun fact, she designed the Houston Rockets logo for the basketball team.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow.
Damn it. I knew 92 because I saw Enchanted April before leaving
I'm
Dallas.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, Blair.
You guys, everyone
point.
Did
you
great. The Madonnas are the winner, though. They
oh,
have won.
Well, they
you
totally cheated, but you know.
We're
that's
true.
But I respect her work so much, and it's real. There's a wonderful video about like everything from the structure of all of Gary Oldman's descent into insanity and character changing and lusty zaddy with the little like Coke bottle, like little circle rim glasses and a top hat. It's wonderful. I encourage everyone to actually, it's like the one fashion retrospective on the Oscar site that I really enjoyed, down to the sketches. So
nice.
Yeah. Also, yeah.
Well, now that we're done with that, it's time for our staff picks. It could be any movie at all. Drea, why don't you start?
I would be happy to, Iffy, thank you. My staff pick is 180 degrees from anything we've talked about today. But if you are looking for a film to mess with your brain a bit and that you will be talking about in groups of people and they will definitely be giving each other side eyes when you walk away, then I've got the movie for you. It is a documentary out of the Sundance Film Festival called A Glitch in the Matrix, directed by Rodney Asher. I had mentioned this briefly in my wrap-up in January of Festival Faves. It's currently on Hulu, but you can rent it for $4 pretty much anywhere. And it's beautifully done. Like, he does all this crazy Avatar stuff to disguise people, but the whole thing is essentially trying to answer the question, are we living in a simulation? And to get to the bottom of it, he looks at science, he has sort of philosophical evidence, anecdotal stories, and you can imagine the people who are involved in wondering about this. But you will watch it and you will, if you're like me, be like, oh yeah, we're definitely in a simulation. So, you know, let movies be your guide and let this movie guide you to some very weird conversations with people.
I was thrilled to hear that Blair likes bad movies, because that's what I've got this week. One of my favorite terrible films, and it may be kind of a fashion film, only if you're really into caftans. And that would be the early 70s musical adaptation of Lost Horizon, which is right now streaming on Tubi for free with ads. It is one of the most grandly misguided movies ever made. Came at the tail end of the mega musical moment of the 60s. Some say, in fact, absolutely drove the final nail in the coffin of the musical for like several decades. Burt Bacharach and Hal David writing some of the oddest songs of their career. People winding up in beautiful Shangri-La, which looks a lot like a Burbank Holiday Inn. And people like Sally Kellerman and Liv Ullmann and other musical stars that you want to see in a musical. It's bananas, but I love going back to revisit. It's the kind of bad movie I can't get enough of. So go check it out on Tubi. If it turns you into a diehard fan like me, get the Blu-ray, which has the fertility dance sequence intact. Words cannot do it justice.
Oh my God, the title absolutely almost does enough. Yeah.
Ladies?
I'll go next. Alonzo, that's so classy bad that I think that's good. In my brain, I'm like, that's the problem. I think that's a good film. Sounds great. I'm picking one that I feel like we talked about this. I always quote this movie and it's horrible because every quote is something offensive and horrible. But I've done it my whole life and kids hear me say these things. So like, don't bring your kids around me. But Reese Witherspoon was in a movie called Freeway.
Yes.
And people have forgotten about how horrible Freeway is. And Freeway also is wonderful. It's a wonderful film. It has some great writing. It takes place in California, which is always going to win me over. And it's also a retelling of Red Riding Hood.
I was just going to say, is that the Red Riding Hood?
It's an adaptation, yes. So that's going to be, that's a win for me on all accounts. Kiefer Sutherland is haunting and terrifying and twisted. Brooke Shields has great looks and is also equally as messed up. So yeah, Freeway is my go-to when I just need something bad and watchable. And I think because Reese has gone so far away from that character, it's like unbelievable. So that's my end. That's my
nice.
I had that one on my list too, but I am going to say it's a movie that we did really early on in our podcast. It's like one of my favorites since I was a kid. Also an LA movie, Earth Girls Are Easy, which is Gina Davis, or a spaceship of aliens that are holding a furry Jeff Goldblum. Who else is in there?
Jim Carrey and Damon Wayans.
Yes, yes, yes. And they crash into Gina Davis's pool. And she takes them to her salon because she's a nail artist. This movie is just like, it's like the perfect Blair and Marie movie because there's fashion, there's Gina Davis and Jeff Goldblum and nails.
Yeah.
And they get shaved and underneath is like hot Jeff Goldblum. And it's so weird. And it's kind of, it's a musical too. It has Julie Brown, not Downtown, but the other one. Angeline. Yeah, Angeline makes a cameo. It's just wonderful if you haven't seen it.
Okay, I have to bring this up because this ties everything together. In the segment where we talked about the movie, I mentioned Absolute Beginners. In the Add to Your Cart, I talked about The Filth and the Fury, and now you're bringing up Earth Girls Are Easy, and they're all directed by the same guy.
Really?
Julian Temple.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How funny.
The music video guy. Nice. Well done, Marie. Way to keep it to a theme.
Ooh, I didn't even do it on purpose.
Yeah.
We worked that all out in advance. It's
good. Yeah, you guys, yeah. Everybody did such a good job. Ooh. All right, Iffy, I'm so ready to be blown away.
Please. I know, you know, it's just,
What Judy will you Judy us this week, Judy?
The crown weighs heavy on my head, you know. Yeah. This week being a fashion movie and me being featured in GQ Italia, know, a fashion icon itself, you know. So I didn't know whether to err on the side of fashion or my love for Emma Stone. So I'm going to go ahead and give you both. If you want to love up on some Emma Stone acting, I'm going to give you Birdman. But if you want to laugh about some fashion stuff, I'm going to say go and revisit Zoolander because that was a dumb, silly movie. And you get like that early Ben Stiller love. That was like the era of like these goofy comedies before, you know, we were like, we got to be smart with our comedies. Like, it was like, no, let's blow up a group of friends because they had a water fight with gasoline.
Yeah. So, a Sarsgaard.
Yeah.
The Elder or the of the Sons. Yes. Yeah. A lot of Sarsgaards out there.
Do not fuck with Zoolander 2, though, I beg you.
Yeah.
Leave it at one.
Just pretend the second one doesn't exist. Okay. But, you know, before we go, a brief announcement. One of our stretch goals during the Max Fun Drive this year was if we had 250 new or upgrading members, one of you will get to pick the movie we discuss on the show. Since we blew past that stretch goal this week, producer Casey will be emailing a random member to ask them what movie they want to hear about. Oh. So check your email inboxes this week and see if you got it. And just think of a movie that would make me happy and Dre and Alonzo unhappy.
No, the power we are giving over to someone else. Yeah. Please approach this like the Iffy Chikune intellectual.
Yes, please do. Be esteemed. Marie and Blair, thank you so much for joining us today. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Thank you.
No, just come listen to Fish Netflix. We are on all the platforms, Fish Netflix, and then on Instagram, Marie loves a good DM. If there is something fashiony that we missed, yes, feel free to email us and let us know that we don't know names or DM us and know that, yes, we know those things. Justice for Alonzo. That's the other thing I'd like to plug. I'm so sorry. I've dragged you down to my hell. But yeah, get at us and listen and enjoy, because we try to make everything like fun and accessible and, you know, super chill. So
are you on Twitter as well? Like, does your podcast have a social media?
Yeah,
we're on Twitter. We mostly post Instagram since it's visual. So you can find us there at Fishnet Flicks Pod.
Nice. Perfect.
Ooh, sounds good. Well, if you have a comment or suggestion about this week's show, tweet at us at @maximum_film. Our Facebook group can be found at www.facebook.com/group/maximumfilm, or send us an email at maximumfilm@maximumfun.org. Our producer is Casey O'Brien. Our wonderful senior producer is Laura Swisher. And this is a production of Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.